turn to 2 Corinthians. I did not have a definite leading of the Lord until this morning, and that I was to continue with 2 Corinthians. Just everything as the meeting progressed this morning, starting with the Sunday school and so on, I knew, yes, the Lord confirmed it. And if any of us need comfort this morning, and we all do in these end times, then this word that you have heard this morning and will still hear is especially for us. And you know, I have learned something through my years with the Lord, and that is that he feeds us well before the trial comes. He gives us of his word. I have learned that. I know sometimes we go to like camp or and oh, we're so blessed, all the word that just we would just feel so full when we leave there. But you know, the Lord knows what's coming up, and he feeds us and he gets us ready. Praise the Lord. Oh, for the grace of God. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, also the church of God, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. You know, Paul wrote the first epistle, the first letter to this assembly, to set the church in order. And in this second epistle, he insists upon his apostleship and that it is the will of God. And you know, that was very necessary because the Judaizers, the legalists among them, and sorry to say, it is still a problem that exists today. But he mentions Timothy here with him and because of his relationship to Corinth Assembly. And you remember when we was reading in the last part of 1 Corinthians that Paul sent Timothy to them to further establish that assembly in the truths that had been revealed unto Paul. So he was a faithful minister who followed up. This letter is not only addressed to the Corinth assembly, but to all in Achaia. I could go into some history about what Rome did but I'm not going to mess with that this morning. But in other words, this is for us. It is written to all those who are in affliction. You know, the saints in the early church, they suffered persecution greatly. And I think of Romans 15 and verse 15 and 16 that explains his boldness in writing unto them. There we read, he says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that was given unto me, that he was chosen to be the apostle of this age, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought in me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." Amen. Paul is fulfilling his priestly ministry to the church, or maybe I should say in the church. He, as a true servant of God, And you know, we read in 1 Corinthians that he had to feed them with milk and not with meat. But now he writes the hidden depths that before they could not receive. Verse 2 and 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. See how this ties in with what we've had this morning already in Sunday school? Yes. We certainly are blessed, or I am anyway, by this description of our God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort. Comfort here is the very same word that we find in John, the 14th chapter and the 16th chapter, used of the Holy Spirit. Yes. When he went away, he said, I will send you a comforter. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Indicating, you know, it, just stop and think here, that this indicates the three manifestations of the triune God in comfort. God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do suffer distress and problems. But there is comfort in our God of mercies. The word comfort or consolation, which means comfort, is found 10 times in this chapter. Divine comfort for all saints under all conditions. Paul suffered much in his life. We've studied his life on Wednesday night. He suffered much. His life was poured out unselfishly for others. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I die daily. I die daily. Let's read verse 4 through 6. Who comfort us, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Don't you like that word all put in there? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation, your comfort and salvation. Yes. Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Isn't that a good scripture to come to our minds at times when we need it? And the Holy Spirit does that. You know, God has a purpose in all things. I think we've heard saying that to one another. God always has a purpose. Yes. So Paul says here that he was afflicted for their sakes. He was afflicted for the sake of the saints. Yes. And when it says for their comfort and salvation, that word salvation there has the meaning of working out of their problems, for their spiritual growth. God comforts them. He calls them alongside. That's another meaning in here. he calls them alongside to encourage others that are in tribulations and afflictions. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify or exhort one another, even as also ye do. As Christ's sufferings abound, that means overflow in us, so our consolation or comfort overflows through Christ. Overflows through Christ. And Christ is the immediate agent. Aren't you thankful that he is faithful as our high priest praying for you and I? Yes. Praise the Lord. Is that not comfort? Yes. Verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so ye shall be also of the consolation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul, he had a hope, he had an expectation of them, and he was steadfast in that. He rested in that expectation, knowing that they are partakers. And that word partaker means fellowship partners of the sufferings, and so shall also be of the consolation. Verse 8 and 9, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, yes, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Paul's trials, his trouble, his sufferings, they weighted him down. Those calamities, they were out of measure. And that has the meaning in the Greek, a casting beyond his power to endure it alone. He could not endure it alone. He despaired even of life. Talking about fearing, Gordon. He despaired even of life. But praise the Lord, the sentence of death. He's referring to Calvary, where the death sentence was pronounced upon the whole old creation. It is safe only and always to trust God, the God of resurrection. Yes. Praise the Lord. Trust in God which raiseth the dead. Praise the Lord. It was mentioned this morning. I think we'll probably mention it quite a few times. We're a winner either way. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he will deliver us again and again until our race is run. I'm reminded of a song come to my mind when I studied this. So I went and looked up this song. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Gordon was mentioning this morning in Sunday school about the children of Israel when they left Egypt, and them Egyptian army came after them, and it says, you know, they surrounded them there. And so the sea was before them. The army was behind them. They were trapped. Have you ever felt trapped? I have. And you didn't know, what options do I have? Isn't that that's our thinking. What options do I have? I'm trapped. I can't do this. I can't do that. But we can go to the Lord. Did the Lord come in for them? Miraculously. There's movies made of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, let's go on. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yes. Praise the Lord. Satan and sin were conquered at Calvary. They cannot have dominion. As Amy Clodfelter used to say, Satan is a defeated foe. She would say that very strongly. Satan is a defeated foe. Even if our existence here ends, there's no death for those who trust him. At the moment that we pass this existence, the spirit and the soul is immediately in the presence of the Lord. Talk about comfort, yes. We read that in Philippians 1:23. Now the body, it says, goes to sleep until the trumpet sounds. The trumpet sounds and that body is no longer asleep. And what does it say? The dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And we read in Romans, the 14th chapter, whether we die or fall asleep, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. May our hope, our expectation, be as fixed as Paul's, that God will deliver whatever comes our way. He will deliver again and again as the need arises. I don't know what's in the future for me, and you don't know what's in the future for you, but the Lord knows, and he's with us. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Verse 11, ye also helping together. Notice that, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift that he was chosen to be the apostle, bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanksgiving may be given by many on our behalf. The Corinth believers had prayed earnestly for Paul. They were helping together. And that's a compound word that means aid along with another. Many persons had labored in prayer, and Paul was grateful. Verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation or manner, conduct in the world, and more abundantly to you word. Yes. Evidently, the Judaizers had accused Paul that he was not sincere. They were calling it into question his sincerity because he had delayed coming unto them. So that gave them the opening to accuse him. But Paul boasts here, rejoicing in his sincerity. His conscience did not condemn him. And the word sincerity comes from a word meaning that which is viewed in sunlight and found to be clear and pure. Let's continue on, verse 13. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledged, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. That word acknowledge here has the meaning of being convinced. And he says, I trust that unto the end you will be. They had read what he had written unto them in the first epistle. They had it in writing, so they could read it and know it again and again. And we're reading it again. Verse 14, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Yes. The majority there had received and taken his words and had taken them to heart. Despite the divisions that there were among them, there still were those who did receive and take it to heart. And Paul glories in his spiritual children and looking forward to the Lord's return. Verse 15, and in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit. Yes, a second benefit or a second grace. You know, his delay was because of circumstance. Now, God allows those things. They weren't of his making. And we're going to read now in the following verses that he calls God to witness of his sincerity. All right, we'll start reading with verse 16. And to pass by you unto Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh that was with me? There should be yea, yea, and nay, nay, or yes, yes, or no, no. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Yes, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Remember that. Remember, he says, he spared them. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Did you note as we read through verse 18, he calls as witness God. Did you notice in verse 19 the Jesus Christ? And then what do we read? Sealed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He calls the triune God as his witness that he was sincere. And Paul gives them the purpose or the reason that he delayed coming unto them. And what does he say? It was to spare them. Verse 23, it was to spare them. If he had come immediately, he would have dealt harshly with them. And here he claims no lordship over them as being a lord over their faith. Now, some religious leaders take this place, but it's not theirs. The minister is ministering unto the saints, a servant unto the saints, and they are helpers of the saints' joy. Oh, praise the Lord. Christ is their Lord. Christ is our Lord. And not Paul nor anyone else. Christ. For by faith ye stand, as do all the saints. Stand by faith. Amen. I don't have anything else I want to say. Jack? Jack?